This week's Bible study from President and Founder Ralph Drollinger of Capital Ministries for the week of March 4th, 2019 is entitled Anger and Office. Our introduction. I have chosen to outline the study by first looking at the five roots of anger. Most of the time, our anger stems from some sort of selfish sin, save righteous indignation. After inspecting the different kinds of tempers spoken of in the book, we will see what Proverbs says about how to tick someone off, in case you're deficient in the skill, followed by what it says about avoiding the same. The remaining instruction in my outline from the book of Proverbs has to do with living opposite of anger in peace. Hebrew words defining anger. The Old Testament Hebrew root words that appear in the following numerous proverbs are as follows. All are translated into the English word anger. A, af, literally, a nostril, nose, face, referring to the facial expressions of someone who is angry. B, abar. This means to be arrogant, to become angry. C, chema, heat, rage. D. Ebrach, overflow, arrogance, and fury. And E. Kass, vexation. One can easily see the connection, the similarity of authorial intent in the use of each of these different words. Greek words defining anger. In the New Testament, the following Greek words are translated into the English word anger. A. Orgizo. This Greek word means to make angry. It is the most commonly used word in the New Testament for anger. For instance, it appears in Galatians 5:20 in relation to the fruits of the flesh, those characteristics of the unregenerate that are at enmity with Christ. They are idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, etc. One famous word commentary defines orgizo as jealousies which, when smoldering in the heart, break out in wrath. B. Ephesians 4:31 uses the same root, orge, when it commands those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. C. Colossians 3:8 uses the same word when it states, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. As you can see by these passages, anger is not a tool available to believers in the capital, or anywhere else for that matter, for any reason or purposes save righteous indignation, as we will see later. D. James 1:19 states the same word when it commands, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Chapter 1, verse 20. All citations here in Roman numeral 3 refer to the same Greek word, orge. E. Ephesians 6:4 contains a heightened form of the same root, parorgizo, when it commands, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Greek word here is negated, meaning not to provoke to anger. This is a contrasting statement. By disciplining your child, you are not provoking him to anger. More about that here is in order. A word about spanking children. In order to properly parent and raise a child, it is sometimes necessary to spank. Solomon made sure Rehoboam would lead with such wisdom in his civil governance, instructing him, as the future king of Israel, not to prohibit God's institution of the family from carrying out its responsibilities in this regard, lest Rehoboam end up governing a police state. He states in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. In other words, to avoid spanking a child when he rebels, displaying willful disobedience, communicates to the child that he can get away with what he knows in his heart to be wrong. As a result, he gets spoiled. In Proverbs 23:13 and 14, King Solomon also says to the future governmental leader, "Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol." For any public servant to think otherwise is to overlook the reality of the Adamic curse present in every child and the sin-laden nature present in all mankind. A child who does not know his boundaries quickly and assuredly becomes unhappy and angry. To not discipline a child as a parent, Ephesians states that in essence, the parent is provoking your child to anger. He rebels in search of the security of those boundaries. Accordingly, a failure to spank creates a child who grows up to depict much of what follows in this study. In addition, in the New Testament, thumos often appears, indicating a more agitated condition of feelings, an outburst of wrath from inward indignation, whereas orge suggests a more settled or abiding condition of the mind, frequently with a view toward taking revenge. It is less sudden in its rise and more lasting in its nature. Thumos relates, as we will see in what follows, to be quick-tempered. If you or someone you know has an anger problem, the way to win over it is to first understand its roots and deal with the root cause. Having briefly overviewed 5 Old Testament and 4 New Testament words related to anger, what follows are the 5 roots of anger from Proverbs. Examining the 5 roots of anger. A. From jealousy and envy. The Hebrew word quina, meaning ardor, envy, rivalry, zeal, is the word translated as jealousy in the New American Standard Bible. Some commentators attempt to define jealousy and envy as different, but twin sisters. Jealousy being the attempt to guard what you are fearful another person might take, and envy being the desire to have what another person possesses. Those are fine distinctions of the same genre of sin, but it is not as clear as a distinction relative to the Hebrew words used in the book of Proverbs. Jealousy stems from a zeal to want what another person has, which turns into anger when the expectations go unfulfilled. Chapter 6, verse 34, "For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance." 27, verse 4 reads, "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" The commentator Bridges on the book of Proverbs states, quote, "Envy is an implacable passion with native principles," page 503. "It has a fearful train of evils. Reason becomes the oil to fan the flame of the sin rather than the water to quench it. Enmity invadeth their spirits and settleth itself," end quote. Summarily, jealousy becomes a most uncontrollable sin, be it motivated by a fear of loss or a desire to have. It is often the underlying motive for angry behavior. B. From hatred. Chapter 10, verse 12 of Proverbs states, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." The Hebrew word for hatred is sinah, meaning malicious and unjustifiable feelings toward others. Merriam-Webster defines hatred as prejudiced hostility. Whereas jealousy and envy stem from the fear of loss and the desire of wantonness, hatred stems from a selfish-based belief that you are better than someone else. The sin is based in a Darwinian ideology, a base belief that some are more fit than others. In essence, then, rank pride in the seedbed of hatred. This epistemology is trumped by Scripture, however, which states that all human beings, and only human beings, are created in God's image. One's theology, then, will ultimately determine the existence or else expungement of feelings of hatred. And hatred is a root of anger. C, from insolence. Chapter 13, verse 10 of Proverbs reads, "Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel." The Hebrew word for insolence is zedon, meaning presumptuousness, arrogance, and pride. Merriam-Webster defines this word that is not used much today but is a good addition to your vocabulary as haughty and contemptuous or brutal in behavior or language, overbearing. I like Merriam-Webster's second listed definition as it applies to the capital community: lacking usual or proper respect for rank or position, presumptuously disrespectful or familiar toward equals or superiors. Show me a climber in the Capitol, and I will show you an insolent person who is easily angered when his path to the top is in any way thwarted. To be overly ambitious for advancement is to set oneself up for strife and anger. Oh, how I have personally seen this play out in too many short careers here on the Hill. D, from arrogance. Chapter 28, verse 25 reads, "An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper." This is the kind of proverb where the second stanza informs the meaning of the first. Akin to C, the arrogant climber will go to any length to immediately prosper, not really believing that advancement comes from the Lord. Do not fuel your career with arrogance or selfishness or ambition. Most often, it leads to an explosion. Psalm 145:14 states, "The Lord raises up all who are bowed down." E, from foolishness. 29 verse 9, "When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest." No agreement can be made with a fool. Fools start the reasoning with their own mind, thinking it is the final and highest authority. 29 verse 11, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." You can expect when you disagree with the mind of a fool, one who thinks his or her mind is infallible, that it will produce anger. Why? Because you are challenging a pride-filled core, and we have seen pride as the seedbed of anger. In summary, these are the five roots of outward anger. Rather than take a Band-Aid approach, one must perform surgery on the root cause or causes of his anger in order to cure it. Only then will healing and victory occur. Examining three kinds of tempers. A, quick tempers. Chapter 14, verse 17 reads, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." 25, verse 28, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit." Whatever's in the air will affect and invade this person's mind and emotions. Thin-skinned, reactive versus prudent, defensive versus discerning, he allows others to affect his emotions. Especially in the world of political debate, identify and objectify rather than react to ad hominem attacks. B, hot tempers. 15 verse 18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." Chapter 19 verse 19, "A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again." 29 verse 22, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression." Quick tempers and hot tempers reveal a heightened degree of selfishness stemming from one or more of the five roots previously spoken. C, slow tempers. 14 verse 29, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, for he who is quick-tempered exacts folly." Ephesians 4:26 reads, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Paragizmo is the Greek word for the second verse listed for the word anger, meaning irritation. This is the only time anger is legitimate in the believer's life, and it relates to righteous indignation, states a leading New Testament commentator on how to best understand this biblical command. In this statement, he, Paul, may be legitimizing righteous indignation, anger at evil, at that which is done against the person of the Lord and against his will and purpose. It is the anger of the Lord's people who hate evil. It is that anger that abhors injustice, immorality, and ungodliness of every sort. Jesus was always angered when the Father was maligned or when others were mistreated, but he was never selfishly angry at what was done against him. Anger that is sin, on the other hand, is anger that is self-defensive and self-serving, that is resentful of what is done against oneself. It is the anger that leads to murder and to God's judgment. Anger that is selfish, undisciplined, and vindictive is sinful and has no place, even temporarily, in the Christian life. But anger that is unselfish and is based on love for God and concern for others not only is permissible but commanded. Righteous anger and being slow to anger are evidenced in the following Proverbs. 14:35. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Being slow to anger is akin to using anger in a righteous response to evil. It has its place and is a mark of true wisdom. How to solicit anger in others. Just in case you are unskilled in how to anger others, here are some tips. A. Speak harshly to others. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. 26:21. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. 27:3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both of them. The truths of these proverbs are self-evident and need no comment. B. Slander and scorn others. 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. The Hebrew word for slander is ragan, meaning to murmur, whisper, criticize, and grumble. Merriam-Webster fitly defines slander as utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage reputation. Perhaps you have been slandered by another. The internet seems to be the new vehicle for spreading strife via slander. For sure, such actions will induce anger in the one being slandered. 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. The brother spoken of here is a blood relative in this colorfully depicted proverb. No feud is as difficult to resolve as one with a family member, and therefore, extra care should be taken to avoid such conflicts by everyone in every family. 25:23. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. This describes cause and effect. As surely as it will rain with clouds from the north, Solomon wrote, living in the northern hemisphere, backbiting will cause anger in others. 29:8. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Scorn is an emotion involving anger and disgust, passionate contempt and disdain. Avoid being scornful in your personal and professional life. Realize that everyone in a fallen world has his faults. That should not surprise or disgust you if you are a Bible-believing Christian. If you are a humanist, however, you have every right to be scornful, given your misguided beliefs in the upward evolution of man. You should be rightfully disgusted with everyone who is not as perfect as you believe yourself to be. Prolonged anger yields increasingly worsening results. Notice the following proverb with that in mind. Chapter 30, verse 33 reads, "For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife." Churning, pressing, and churning are all the same Hebrew verbs colorfully portraying the fruit of anger, strife. C. Step on others. 17:19 reads, "He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction." The second portion of this parallel meaning proverb, each stanza helps to interpret the meaning of the other, is an idiom, an expression established in the usage of a language that is peculiar to itself either in grammatical construction or in having a meaning that cannot be derived as a whole from the conjoined meanings of its elements, Merriam-Webster, denoting pride. The image here is of a proud man who flaunts his wealth, a man with a huge house and front door. Jeremiah 22, verses 13 through 17, qualifies the meaning of this idiom in its time of use, further stating, "Woe to him who builds his house without righteousness, who uses his neighbor's service without pay. Your eyes and your heart are intent only upon your own dishonest gain." Such outward selfish behavior infuriates others. Such could be likened today by drug lords living in mansions while their business, selling drugs, causes lives to be ruined. Such is portrayed in the following proverb, chapter 22, verse 8. "He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish." Scripture often speaks in terms of sowing and reaping, i.e., the end result of an earlier action, cause, and effect. Such is the case here. Stepping on others will make them angry. D. Bribe others. 21 verse 14. "A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath." In this contrasting proverb, the second stanza implies a perversion, revolting in a wrathful reaction by the recipient. It is one thing to give a gift to quell anger in another, to offset a wrong action as a means of making up. It is quite another thing to bribe someone with your wealth. How to avoid angering others. A. Cover sin. 16 verse 14. "The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it." The Hebrew word for appease is kafar, meaning to cover over, pacify, and make propitiation. Solomon states that it is a desired skill when working with those in political power to propitiate for their weaknesses. Don't make everything that is wrong about a person an issue. Many are those who live by the letter of the law, awaiting and exploiting the sins of others. Scripture, however, has much to say about grace. Grace is unmerited favor. "For by grace you have been saved through faith in Christ," and is a principle of wise living. Notice the following passages that serve to buoy this concept. 10 verse 12. "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." 19:11. "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." 1 Peter 4:8 reads, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." This advice is not related to murder, rape, robbery, or their like. Rather, and in addition, generally speaking, it is better to address someone's minor sins once you've built a relationship with him and to do it in private. Covering versus exploiting another's weaknesses will lead to peace versus anger. B. Abandon quarrels. 17:14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. The Hebrew word for strife is rib, carrying a broad generality of disputes, adversaries, complaining, contending, controversies, indictments, lawsuits, or quarreling. Hone your skill of sensing when divisive situations might occur and intercede prior to their maturation. Chapter 20, verse 3 of Proverbs reads, "Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel." At this particular juncture in the outline, another very special skill at living life is contained in Proverbs 26:17, which identifies more of the principle stated in the aforementioned. It pertains to the foolishness of entangling yourself in another's transgression. It is wise not to get involved in the quarrels between others, quarrels that have nothing to do with you. 26:17 does read, "Like one who takes a dog by the ears, is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him." C. Restrain your words. Chapter 17, verse 27. "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." The Hebrew word for restrains is kasak and means to withhold, keep back. D. Keep your distance from scoffers. 22:10, "Drive out the scoffer and contention will go out, even strife and dishonor will cease." For those in positions of leadership and power, this is good advice. If you do not possess the authority to root such from your midst, for instance, a family member, at least register a strong protest to his actions. To do less is to live with his fruits. Chapter 22, verses 24 through 25. "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." Be careful who you associate with. Bad company corrupts good morals, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Definitive of bad company is this. Chapter 24, verse 2. "For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." Don't be around this kind of person unless you are evangelizing them. The benefits of peace versus anger. 17, verse 1. "Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife." A parallel proverb is 15:17. "Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a flattened ox served with hatred." It is wise to be in the presence of those who are poor and loving than rich who hate. We live in a society consumed by gaining social status, hanging out with the rich and famous. Celebrity is one of America's idolatrous gods. See that for what it is. Solomon wisely points out that it is better to pursue peace than feasts, feasts that possess attitudinal strife. 19, verse 12. "The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." This proverb is akin to Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. All are called to submit to governmental authority. In both of these New Testament passages, there is resulting favor. Cross-reference chapter 13, verse 3, and chapter 2, verse 14, respectively. A peace that results. Proverbs 20, verse 2 portrays a parallel emphasis. 20, verse 2 reads, "The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life." To live in non-rebellion with governing authorities, even though you might not agree with their many decisions, is to live peacefully. Our conclusion. As you can see by the length of this study, Proverbs has much to say about anger. If you suffer from frequent outbursts, my prayer is that this study will help you to find the root cause. Whereas you can cover up and create a facade, your levels and frequency of anger should act as a barometer to indicate how sinful and self-absorbed you really are, and, subsequently, your need for Christ as Lord and Savior. Righteous indignation, on the other hand, is a measure of your love for Christ. Are you angered over the things that anger God? Therein is an indication of spiritual maturity. God bless you for standing firm where Scripture is firm. Amen. This concludes our Bible study for this week. May God bless you deeply. And as always, thank you for all you do for our great country and all you do on the Hill. This is Frank Sontag.